Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to talk about a subject this morning. I want to welcome you. Glad you're here. Glad we're in church. And I want to have you involved today, so we're going to have a good time. Here's what I want to talk about this morning. What to do when you have a bad day. And a couple weeks ago, I just had one of those weeks that was really a bad week for me a couple weeks ago. And you ever been in a time where in a week one thing happens that is not really good, and then another thing happens, and you're like, man, it did keep happening. What's going on? I had that week where one thing after another was bad, and I felt horrible, and you're dealing with these emotions. You're just like, man, this is terrible. And because of who I am, I'm a kind of guy that likes to fix things around, and I don't like, you know, really, I'm always trying to fix things, you know. So I didn't tell anybody. I didn't even tell my wife that I was having a bad week. I was just trying to figure out and process, internally process what was going on. But at the end of that week, I actually learned something that I thought would be good to talk about and share it. Because even in the process of my bad week, I was able to be helped in, you know, in a way that helped my life. So that's what I want to talk about today. Now, I want to know, how about you? What do you do when you have a bad week? We all know we've had bad days. Have we had a bad day? If you haven't had a bad day, you'll soon have a bad day. But what do? When you have a bad day. So everybody gets a bad day. Even kids get bad days. Adults get bad days. Seniors get bad days. My son gets a bad day when you tell him that we ran out of Cinnamon Toast Crunch. His life falls apart. I can't believe we don't have Cinnamon Toast Crunch. He's having a bad day. We all have bad days. But what do you do when you have bad days? Now, normally, I have you guys talk and discuss this, you know, at the end of the service. But today, I want you to discuss this right now. So we're going to talk about it at our table. I want you, in 5 minutes, to go around your table and talk about what do you do when you have a bad day. So get on a table, everyone around. I'm going to ask Derek and Jackie to find a table. And let's visit. So we have 5 minutes on the clock. I want everyone to share about what do you do when you have a bad day. I would like to, if you don't mind. I would like if you don't mind. Thank you. How do you have a bad day?
I just think of happy times.
You think about happy times.
And I like to listen to music, maybe.
Music, okay.
And then I like to talk to my mom right now.
Okay, all right. Okay, cool. How about Nancy?
I used to just kind of sit there and be miserable, or go to the store and find cakes and cookies and ice cream and watch a movie and think that I was having a good time.
But right.
Now I get out and I go for a walk or a swim, and I started reading my Bible.
Okay.
I read my Bible every day.
So you deal with it differently now.
I actually want to read the whole thing.
Yeah.
I've read Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Okay. Oh, wow. That's good. Okay, Harriet, how did you do with a bad day? You forgot what you said? Okay.
On a bad day, I make you lose my religion.
It makes you lose your religion?
I'll be close to it, you know?
Yeah.
I'll be close to it. Thank you. And then I start praying.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. How about Mom Nita? Yeah.
Well, I confess that I usually go in the valley of the death. I start with the shoulda, about, you know. And then, like I said, though, I quickly come out of that because I think about the goodness of the Lord and how He is so faithful. You know, He's so faithful, and I remember the scripture that says that He's stronger through our weaknesses.
Right.
He's much stronger. So I just don't stay there long.
Right.
Feeling sorry for myself, wishing I could have done something different or anything like that. I just thank the Lord for where I'm at.
Yeah.
And what He, His power, His power in my life,
yeah.
His goodness, His mercy, His grace. And like I said to DJ, you know, what really brings me out is when I think about nobody has nailed me to the cross. So it can't be that bad.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, that's good. That's good. All right.
Yeah. You just rock the mic now.
Yeah. Steve, what do you do when you have a bad day? Or what happens to you? Or what do you do?
I tend to usually lose my cool.
Yeah.
I start feeling pressures of life, or pressure from somebody.
Yeah.
And so my first instinct is usually to attack back.
Yeah.
And I start doing that to go more, I guess.
Right, right. Jenny, how do you, what do you do when you have a bad day?
Pass.
Man, you know what you say?
Pass.
Oh. Okay, pass it on to someone else.
The same with him, I get pretty upset with it, so I gotta be quiet. I gotta calm down.
Quiet.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm all over, so.
All right, Tom Akins. Okay. Okay, Tom Smith, go ahead. Oh.
I want to paraphrase because she's being modest. What she said was profound. She says, either I ask God to change the day or change the way I'm reacting to the day.
Yeah, that's good. Wow. That's good. Let's have one more. Tom Smith, go ahead. What do you do when you have a bad day?
Circle of non-Christian women, shall we say, and they want to give the smoke, they got the snake in the middle and all that, and she goes, no, I'll pass on that. And then when she had an opportunity to give her blessing, she saw the eyes of the host pop, and she goes, and I bless you, Genevieve, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
I'm like, that's my wife! Come help me out!
Yeah, that's awesome. All right, so as we think about how to deal with a bad day, there's no better person that we can learn from during a bad day than Jesus Christ, okay? So let's kind of look at a few scriptures here. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, keep your eyes on who both began and finished this rest we are in. So this walk you and I are in, He began it, finished, and stayed in it, and finished it, right? Study how He did it. We are studying how did Jesus deal with a bad day. Because Jesus had bad days too. Yeah. Because He never lost sight of where He was headed. Yeah. Now, sometimes I've had bad days and I've lost sight of where I'm headed. That exhilarating finish in and with God, He could put up with anything along the way. Okay, how cool would that be if you could put up with anything along your way, right? Cross, he couldn't put up with it. Cross, he could put up with shame. Now, how many know that all those things are not easy? The cross, I mean, it's hard to put up with a cross, right? Shame, it's hard to put up with shame. Nobody wants to be put on the spot and embarrassed and put to shame, right? We have our pride, we want to protect our pride, right? You got to respect me, you got to give me some respect, right? No one wants to put up with that. Whatever. So that means, like, the Bible says we can't go through the list, just think about anything. Jesus could put up with it. And now he's there in the place of honor right alongside God. So Jesus was able to put up with everything. The Bible tells us to study him and see how he dealt with a bad day. And so I don't know what you think about when Jesus had a bad day, but have you seen a picture where there are three people on the cross and Jesus right in the middle? That last week, how many think that was really a hard week and bad week, and why he was on the cross was a bad day? So it was a bad day for Jesus. But what does the Bible say about Jesus on that day? It says in Luke 23, then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him. So imagine you having a bad day and somebody turns to even add salt to your wound. So he's having a bad day. Next thing you know, another thief begins blaspheming Jesus. You're like, what did I do to you, man? Well, you come in and be like that. If you are Christ, save yourself and ask. Then the other answer in rebuke him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing you're under the same condemnation? And we did justly, for we received the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Verse 42, then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Then Jesus said to him, assuredly, I said to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus is having a bad day. He's in pain. He's had a terrible week. He's been tortured, scourged, beat up, blasphemed, and then spit on. He's on the cross, terrible pain. His body's in pain. And then the idiot here is blaspheming him. And on the cross, somebody asks for help. And Jesus says to him, assuredly, I said to you today, you will be with me in paradise. Now, how do you all think Jesus handled a bad day, Sunny?
He seems to be really objective, so he didn't take it out on this other person who asked him.
He didn't take it out. Now, that's what everybody, you ever been had a bad day and you took it out on some people?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Or have you ever gone somewhere and people took it out on you because of having a bad day?
Yeah.
So Jesus didn't take it out on the thief, right? Did he have a right to take it out on him? But he did. Okay, someone else, Tom. What do you think? How did Jesus handle his bad day?
I think he kept his eye on what was ahead.
He kept his eyes
on the day itself.
On what? Yeah.
Okay, you know.
Yeah.
There's something ahead of us that is worth it.
So he didn't focus on the now.
Yeah.
He focused on what was to come. Jess.
Yeah, kind of like what Tom said. He kept focused on the mission.
Right.
His ultimate calling.
Yeah.
That was more important than really what was going on.
Right. Okay. Good. Very good. He kept his eyes on the mission. Tom?
I was just going to add that he also was purposeful in keeping clear eyes. They offered him wine.
Yeah.
He's like, no. From my understanding, that he was fully in the moment. He was going to keep a clear head about his mission, about his position with God.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his love of.
Right. So Jesus is having a bad day. He doesn't take it out on somebody else. He keeps his eyes on what's coming. He stays purposeful. He stays on a mission. That's all right. That's absolutely right. That's how Jesus dealt with a bad day. There's a few things I want to point out to you here today about Jesus dealing with a bad day. And one is he offered the guy that was on the cross, he offered him stability. Because in Luke 23, verse, he said, assuredly, I said to you. This person was in a place that was not stable, not shaky ground, and Jesus taunts this guy because this guy doesn't know what's going to happen with him as far as eternity is going to happen. It's like, I'm about to die, I've done wrong. He says, please, would you remember me when you get into your kingdom? I mean, he didn't have a right to have God's kingdom. He didn't have a right to have eternal life because he was a thief, murdered, and he was now being crucified. Jesus taunts him and tells him, assuredly, there is such a meaning in that word. He says, I'm not just suggesting, I'm just giving you my word. He says, assuredly I said to you. So he gave that guy such hope that brought stability inside of him. And many times, people that are around us that are hurting, people that are going through a bad day, one of the things that people need is for you and I to come alongside and just offer them stability. Here's what the Bible says in Luke, in Psalms 40, verse 2. It says, he lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud, and out of the mire. He set my feet on a rock and gave me a firm place to stand. Part of the reason why people may not feel really good or feel that the day's going well is because sometimes everything about them gets shaken. Right? Their health is shaken. They go to the doctor, and the doctor tells them something, it shakes that ground. Or maybe something happens with their kids and their teenagers, and it shakes their ground. Because you suddenly find out something about your teenager, and it shakes your ground. Maybe you suddenly find something about your job that you didn't know. Now your ground is shaking. And you need to find somebody, or God will send somebody to help you bring stability. And say, yes, I know. Something's been shaken with your job or with your finances or with your health or with your children, but hey, here is stability. Jesus offered that, even on the cross. The last thing you think, Jesus being on the cross, is to, even in his pain, is to think about someone else.
Yes, yes, yes.
To offer them to that. Number two, he offered them support. Today, you will be with me. You know, we read those, but it's such a meaning. I mean, when you're in such a terrible place, such a painful place, and you're not alone, and you say, you won't have to be alone. Today, you will be with me. I know you're in pain. You're in a moment of pain right now, but you will be with me. I'm taking you along, man. You're going to be with me. Have you ever been in a place where you're going through a tough time and somebody was just there with you? How'd that feel? It is a great ministry. And I want to encourage us that as we think about, you know, serving other people in your life that can just use you to just be there with them. To just be there with them. And say, you know what? In your time of need, in your moment of trouble, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Now, we all know we've had people use that word so loosely, like, hey, if you need anything, call me. Yeah, I'll be there if you need me, but, and then you do it like, I gotta wash my car, and I'll see you later. You know? And you're like, man, I don't even want to call you. I don't even want to say, because you say you'd be there and you're not, right? But would it make a difference if there are people out there that you know that you can just be with them and offer them support and just be there? Jesus said, today you'll be with me. I want you not to underestimate the power of you being there for someone else. We need each other. We need each other. Somebody needs you. Somebody needs you. Look at someone on your table and tell them somebody needs you. You see? There is power when we make ourselves. This is what the Bible says in Ecclesiastes 2, chapter 4, verse 12. The one may be overpowered. Look at that. One may be overpowered, but two can defend themselves. Right? A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So if you don't play alone, you could be overpowered. But if somebody comes alongside, now you can have some defenses. If you can have emotionally, you can be defensible emotionally, you can be defensible mentally, you can stand in places where you don't stand if you're not with someone else. So we don't want to isolate ourselves. We don't want to be alone. We want to engage. We want to connect. We want to be with somebody. We want to be able to be a people that give ourselves into other people so they can help us. Can I get an amen?
Yeah.
Number three, what Jesus did, he offered them salvation. He said, you be with me in paradise. Now, he offered them that hope. He offered them that salvation. Now, the word paradise in English is the word resort. He says, I know you're in pain right now. I know you're in pain, but I'm offering you a resort after this. He's like, yes, you're in pain. I can't take you off the cross, but I can get you to a resort. I can't take you off a cross, but I get you a place where you can hang your feet and sit in the jacuzzi and eat good food. I'll take care of you. You see, sometimes Jesus doesn't just fix the moment. He says, I'll take care of you in the future. Sometimes God, you see, it's a mistake when you think that God will fix every moment of your life when you need him to do it. But sometimes God says, well, I'm with you, but tomorrow will be better. Hang in today. Stay strong. Tomorrow will be better. He may say, you know what? This month is strong. Hang in there. I'm with you. But next month will be better. God may say, well, this year may be tough. Hang in there. Next year will be better. Because sometimes we want God to fix my now moment. And God sometimes is not into fixing the now moment. Because there's more purpose in the now moment. And he says, yes, I'll let the now moment stay the way it is because I got the future to take care of. And he says, I'll offer you that. The word salvation is not just to save your soul. That word is an all-encompassing word that not only means salvation, but means provision, means protection, means taking care of other people. You know, if you provide, that's offering salvation. If you take care of people in any way. So he wasn't just talking about saving their soul, but he's like, I offer you salvation. I'll meet your need where you need it. Does that make sense? So he offered salvation. Sometimes I want you to understand that God is pointing to the future sometimes. He may not just fix the moment. So when you think about some people, when they say, well, God is not answering my prayer because my situation is not changing, that is doubt and unbelief, because if you pray, then you want to believe that God is answering your prayer, right? But you have to trust God. Maybe he's not fixing it now. He's with you, but he's like, I've got a purpose bigger than your issue. And that doesn't fill up churches, you know. That doesn't make people say amen, you know what I'm saying? People want to know that God's going to do it now. As you walk out the door now, it's going to turn around, and it's happening today. As you walk around, I mean, it's going to be the mailbox, you know, it's waiting for you at home, But sometimes God doesn't work that way. And on the cross, he doesn't fix the guy's problem at the cross. He says, you know, just hang in there. It's going to be good. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Now, the last thing you think, Jesus being in pain, is to think about other people, as you all have mentioned. You know, it's hard. It's hard for me. If I'm having a hard day, to be in that moment to think about someone else. Because when you're having a bad day, you're self-centered.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're thinking about you.
That's right.
You're thinking about your emotions. You're thinking about your feelings. You're feeling about you, self-centered. You know, you feel sorry for yourself. You want to throw a pity party. Right? You want all eyes on you. Maybe you have a bad day. You retreat. You get quiet. You get people around you, silent treatment. Might be bad day. I ain't talking to nobody. You want silent treatment and you want attention. You're having a bad day. You go up in the room and hide yourself because you're having a bad day. And then you get mad because nobody came up to check on you. Now it's getting worse. Like, I've been up here for 1 minute. Nobody came to ask me how I was doing. I'm having a bad day. No. Or maybe you just snap at everyone because you're having a bad day. You know, when we're having a bad day, sometimes we're very self-centered and very into ourselves and we don't care. And you're on the freeway, you're just mad. You had a bad day and you're daring anybody to dare cross in front of you. You're just like, I dare you try to cut me off. You see me, you know? Or maybe you're like, I'm going to slow down. I won't let you pass me. And when you try to pass me, I'm going to speed up. I'm having a bad day. I'm laying you in. You have your body. We are self-centered. We do stuff that is not pleasant. Many times we snap out of our body like hours later, day later. You're like, man, I was being a jerk. And we have to go back and say, you know what? I'm sorry for yelling at you. It wasn't your fault. I was having a bad day. I'm sorry snapping at you. It wasn't my, you know, I was having a bad day. I'm sorry for eating all the ice cream. I was just having a bad day. I didn't mean to eat that whole ice cream. I'm just having a bad day. You know, we deal with this stuff so many different ways that many times it's self-centered and destructive. But as we learn from Jesus, there's a way he dealt with a bad day. He focused on others. The last thing that we do is think about others. Our natural way of dealing with a bad day is self-centeredness. I just want to be me. I just want to do me. I'm having a bad day. I want to do me. I'm gonna watch a movie. I'm going to eat ice cream. I don't want nobody. I'm not answering no phone call. I just want to do me because I've had a bad day. Right? How did Jesus do it? So Jesus, on his last day, on his terrible day, the last thing you think you'd do is focus on other people. And there was not one thing Jesus said that demanded attention or self-pity. He did not withdraw. He did not retreat. He did not isolate. He did not shut up or shut off. Jesus turned around and began to help others on his bad day. This is a lesson I learned for me when I was having my bad week. I got the opportunity where somebody reached out. So I had the privilege to be in a place to help. And while I was helping, it just changed me. But it wasn't because I reached out, but somebody reached out. It put me in a position to help. Now, I wish I could say here that I was having a bad day and I began to think of somebody to help. No, it wasn't like that. But here's what happens when we... having a bad day, this is why it works. Because when you think about helping others, it distracts you from your own needs. Right? It just takes your eyes away from your own need. Now you have the ability to help people. And the benefit of even being a pastor sometimes is that you don't get a chance to focus on your needs because you're helping other people. And so when we practice to do that in our own lives, it's going to help us. And when you have needs, you're having a bad day, think of someone else that you can help. Number two, it helps us see the solution. Yes. Have you ever had a bad time and you're just miserable, sad, and having a pity party, and you're just so, like, you know the solution, but the solution is so far from you. And then someone else is having the same problem, and you're like the chief counselor of the world. You're like, brother, this is what you gotta do, you know? This is what you do, man. This is what you do. And you, step by step, you tell them what to do. But when you're in it, you don't know what to do. You're blinded. You have no idea. But when you have to help someone else, you see the solution. So here's the thing, when you're having a bad day and you focus on helping other people, guess what? You'll see the solution. Because many times when you are in it, you can't see anything. Yo, the problems can blind you. You know what I'm saying? Because we're self-centered, it can blind you. All right? Number three, it helps us to put everything in perspective. Because many times when people are having a bad day, you think, you have the worst day ever. You're like, nobody understands what I'm going through. Nobody. Nobody knows. Because I'm just, nobody can relate to what I'm going through. I'm having the worst day. And you think nobody understands. You feel like you're going through such a tough time. And if you can just look out and go to help somebody else, then you begin to realize, you know what? It's not too bad, actually, what I have compared to what someone else is dealing with. Maybe if you get a chance to just go by the hospital, by the ER, and watch people come in, maybe you realize, actually, I'm not having a bad day compared to what they're going through. It begins giving you perspective when you begin to see what other people are going through. You see, listen, I think we have to be very intentional in reaching out to help other people, because sometimes you have what we call silent problems, right? They don't really shake your world, but they're silent. You just walk around with them. You got them in your backpack. They're not like rocking your world, but you know they're there. They're just like a little thorn in your flesh, you know? It just pricks you at a moment, you know? But you're still surviving. You still smile, you know? You still say, amen, God is good. You're still smiling. You're still faking it, right? But you know something is eating on you. But you're still functional. And you let that happen. It keeps eating on you. But if you become intentional in going out and helping other people and serving other people, you begin to realize that actually you're more blessed than you think. Right? And that's why I always, I like bragging on Mom Nita and Sherry, because every week, these ladies are doing something for some other people. Every week, she's going to meet ladies that have gone through domestic violence and sit with them and hear their stories and talk with them. Sherry's, every week, she's going to help ladies with Alzheimer's and do their hair and just give them a nice day and massage their back and just listen to them. Every time you go out and you begin serving other people, you begin to realize that your problems are really not that big. Right? And it begins to do good to you more than you think you're doing to other people. A lot of times people say, you know what? What I'm doing for you, it actually blesses me more than it's blessing them. You see, you're better off than most people if you begin to think about helping other people. As I finish here, let me show you a scripture in the Bible. It says Isaiah 58 verse 10. This is a very powerful verse. Look at what it says. It says, if you spend yourselves. In other words, if you're willing to give of yourself. And that's the last thing we want to do, because we want to do us. We want to have our good time. We want to have our food, our sleep, our movies, our time, right? We want to be us. But the Bible says, if you spend yourselves, in other words, if you step out of yourself for somebody else, if you step out of yourself for some, if you spend yourself on behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed. So someone else is oppressed, is having a bad day. But if you spend yourself saying, well, I'm going to try to meet your need. Then God says, your light will rise in darkness. So he says, you need darkness because you have your own stuff going on. You have your own problems going on. But guess what? There'll be light. And your night, now that's your trouble. That's your problem. That's your needs. Those are things that you're dealing with. That's your night. Things you're uncomfortable with, things that make you feel like, oh man, I wish this could change in my life. Things you're really like, oh God, this I'm uncomfortable. That's your night, right? Then God says, your night will become like noonday. Amen. But your night becomes like noonday because you are focused on someone else. God says, you focus on other people, I'll focus on you. Amen. Isn't that great? He says, you spend yourself for the needs for the other people and you take care of them. Guess what? Then I'll make sure that your night becomes noon. So you don't have to focus on your nights trying to fix everything that's going on in your life. God says, if you do it for other people, I do it for you. And look what he says. The Lord will guide you always. He'll satisfy your needs. Isn't that awesome? He says, I'll satisfy your need.
Yes.
In a sword scorched land, and I will strengthen your frame. You'd be like a well-watered garden. Why? Because you are busy watering other people. So you water other people. You stay watering other people. God says, as you keep watering other people, I'll make sure that you are a well-watered garden. So you do whatever. You take care of other people. You meet their needs. You serve them. You do everything to make someone else's day better. Because I mean, he says, if you do that, I'll strengthen your frame. I'll give you some strength in your body.
Yes.
You like that?
Yeah.
Me too. I say, I'll strengthen you. You'll be like a well-watered garden because you're busy watering other people. You're like, how can I make your life better? What can I do to help you? What can I do to serve you? You know, I'm saving time in my life to serve somebody else. That's what we talked about. Spend an hour a week and do something for somebody else.
Yeah.
Just 1 hour a week. Say, what can I do this week? 1 hour, can I do something for somebody else? He says, if you do that, you'll be like a spring whose waters never fail. Now, and 2 Corinthians 1-7. I'm going to run through this because of time. All praise be to God and the Father of our Master Jesus Christ, Father of all mercy, God of all healing counsel. He says he comes alongside us. Look at that. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times. Right? God says you're going to go through hard time. He says, I'll come alongside you. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who's going through hard times. But sometimes when God brings us along someone else who's going through hard time, we're still focused on ourselves and we don't see the other person. God says, I want you to look at that person that is going through hard time and help him because I'm coming for you to help you too. So that we can be there for that person just as God was there for us. You having a bad day? Think about somebody else that's having a bad day and help them and reach out and just bless them. This is how we deal with bad days. We think about other people and help them. Very simple. That's how Jesus did it. That's what the Bible tells us to do. You're having a bad day, go find somebody and take care of them. You're having a bad day after work, go buy a homeless person some lunch. You're having a bad day. Go do something for somebody else. Be very intentional. Sometimes we're like, man, I don't think God can use me because I've messed up. I've done this and I'm not qualified. I'm not good enough. Listen, God never wastes our mistakes. We'll always use them because your mess ups are always God's assets. God will always take what you have and will use it for his glory. Can I get an amen? This you can read. Whenever we suffer for Jesus, it works out for your healing. And say, if we're treated well, given a helping hand, encouraging word, else works to your benefit, inspiring you on verse 4 and fleshing, your hard times are also our hard times. That's what Paul was saying. He said, look, I got you. I'm sharing in your suffering. If you're going through a hard time, I'm there with you.
Amen.
Because what your hard time is, it's my hard time. I'm not isolated. Friends, this is how you and I would deal with bad days. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Okay, I'm just going to leave it there because of time. I hope you find value in that today. Amen?
Amen.